Love and Like Evangelism, Chapter 19, As You Go, Deliver. Key Verse: How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Introduction. For too long, the work of demons has been dismissed by many as a curious practice in heathen cultures. It has not been considered a problem which invades lives, homes, churches, and nations. But there are people all about you who are tormented, troubled, and even possessed by the powers of darkness known as demons. Jesus ministered to those affected by demonic powers, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and he commissioned his followers to do likewise as they spread the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. This chapter presents guidelines for ministering to those affected by demonic powers. In order to receive the gospel, these captives must first be delivered from bondage. Harvest Time International Institute offers a course entitled Spiritual Strategies, A Manual of Spiritual Warfare, which details the activities of Satan and his demonic forces. If you are not familiar with spiritual warfare, you should obtain this course before you begin the ministry of deliverance. Jesus and demons. The teaching and ministry of Jesus demonstrated that demonic spirits are a real force of evil. What Jesus taught about demons and how he dealt with them yields valuable information about the strategies of Satan. Jesus accepted the fact that Satan is the ruler of a host of demons. He taught the reality and power of demons. He said that casting out demons was one of the signs that the kingdom of God had come. Read Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 30, Mark chapter 3, verses 22 through 27, and Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 23, for a summary of what Jesus taught concerning demons. A large portion of the ministry of Jesus involves dealing with demons. It is the example of Jesus and the authority of his name that provides the scriptural basis for dealing with demonic powers. Jesus ministered to all who came with demonic problems. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How demons operate. Demons are used by Satan to oppose God, his plan and purposes, and his people. They also war against unbelievers to keep them from the truth of the gospel. Demons control specific territories or principalities, such as the Prince of Persia mentioned in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Demons also work through personalities, through men and women, to accomplish satanic objectives in the world. Opposition to God's will is Satan's main objective. The word Satan means adversary. Satan is primarily God's adversary. Job chapter 1 verse 6, Matthew chapter 13 verse 39. He is secondarily man's adversary. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Demons have different natures. One demon identified himself in 1 Kings chapter 22 verse 23 as a lying spirit. A deaf and dumb spirit is mentioned in Mark chapter 9, verse 25. Demons of various natures operate as spirits of infirmity, seducing spirits, and unclean spirits. Satan uses them to war against man in body, soul, and spirit. Spirits of infirmity. These are spirits that can afflict the bodies of believers as well as unbelievers. Read Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. This woman was afflicted with a spirit of infirmity. She was present in the Sabbath services, and Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham. Both of these facts indicate she probably was a follower of God, yet her body was afflicted by Satan for 18 years. For examples of demonic powers afflicting the body, see Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, Chapter 17, verses 15 through 18, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Seducing spirits. These spirits afflict the spirit of man, seducing him to believe doctrinal lies and be condemned to eternal punishment. They are spirits of false doctrine, cults, false Christs, and false teachers. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. These seducing spirits are deceptive. They actually work miracles which lead some to believe they are of God. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Revelation chapter 16, verse 14. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Seducing spirits include the spirit of divination mentioned in Acts. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Such spirits of divination, or familiar spirits, operate in fortune tellers, witches, and palm, crystal ball, and tea leaf readers. Through unscriptural methods, the spirits of divination foretell the future or discover knowledge which is naturally unknown. Warnings against familiar spirits are given in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31, and chapter 20, verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9, chapter 18, verse 10, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27, and 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 3. Seducing spirits sear the conscience, seduce, entice, tempt, allure, interest, fascinate, excite, arouse, attract, and deceive. Seducing spirits are active in causing spiritual wickedness in high places. They are present and operative in every cult and wherever doctrinal error exists. Remember that Satan craves worship, and he will take it any way he can get it. Seducing spirits entice men and women to worship idols and even Satan himself. Unclean spirits. These demonic powers afflict the soulish nature of man. They are responsible for immoral acts, unclean thoughts, temptations, and other strategies of Satan used to bind men and women. When Satan controls individuals with unclean spirits, he can also operate in homes, churches, and entire nations, as these groups are composed of individuals. This is how Satan works in various levels of structure in society. For examples of unclean spirits, see Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, chapter 12, verse 43, and Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 26. Oppression, obsession, possession. Evil spirits can oppress people. To oppress means to bear down, come against, or bind from the outside. This oppression is accomplished by evil spirits in various ways. They cause depression, create negative circumstances, and insert wrong thoughts into the mind, such as thoughts of suicide, immorality, unbelief, fear, etc. Demons create satanic circumstances and situations which tempt men to sin. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Demons can also possess human beings. Demon possession is a condition in which one or more evil spirits or demons inhabit the body of a human being and take complete control of their victim at will. Some people prefer using the word demonized rather than possession, but regardless of the term, the possessed person is host to resident demons. Possession does not mean a person is not responsible for his own sin. His responsibility rests with the factors that led to his condition. Possession can happen willingly. A person may desire to be taken over by spirit powers in order to conduct seances, pronounce curses, become a witch, or secure some other supernatural power. Possession can also occur unwillingly. An individual does not ask to be possessed, but through sinful thoughts, actions, or contact with the occult, possession results. Demonic powers operating in parents and the sins of the parents can affect the next generation. See Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, chapter 34, verse 7, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9. This accounts for demon possession or oppression of children, such as recorded in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30, and chapter 9, verses 17 through 21. There is also such a thing as demon obsession. This is a condition where one becomes obsessed by an interest in or preoccupation with demons. It is an unusual interest in the occult, demons, and Satan, which controls interests and pursuits in a dictating manner. Such obsession with demon powers can lead to possession by them. Can demons affect believers? A true believer cannot be possessed by a demon because the Holy Spirit cannot inhabit the same temple as an evil spirit. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. When you belong to God and are filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot belong to Satan and be filled with his spirits at the same time. The Holy Ghost will not abide in the same temple with Satan. But this does not mean believers cannot be affected by demonic powers. It is these powers against which we wrestle. Satan uses demonic powers to attack believers from the outside through oppression, the symptoms of which were previously discussed. But he cannot possess the true believer. To possess indicates inside occupation. To oppress or bind indicates influence from the outside. The activities of believers can be satanically directed if they allow demonic powers to oppress them. Such oppression or binding by evil powers permits Satan to use them for evil purposes. This is what happened when Peter, a disciple of Jesus, was used of Satan to try to divert Jesus from suffering for the sins of all mankind. When Jesus described the suffering he was to go through, Peter said, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. Jesus did not mean Peter was actually Satan. He recognized that at that moment, Peter allowed Satan to operate through him. He was not demon-possessed, but he was allowing satanic spirits to influence him. By their own actions, believers give place or provide opportunity for Satan to use them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. When a person is born again, his name is written in a special book in heaven called the Book of Life. Only those whose names are in this book will be residents of heaven for eternity. And whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. It is possible to have your name written in the Book of Life, but later blotted out because of turning back to sinful living. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the Book of Life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. If a believer continues in known, unconfessed sin, there is a point at which he can cease to be a Christian. The Apostle Paul expressed his own concern that he not be cast away after preaching to others. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Paul realized that sin, especially continued unconfessed sins of the flesh, could result in the loss of his own soul, even though he had preached to others. By continuing to live in sin, you will eventually end up in a backslidden condition. This means you will no longer be a true follower of Jesus Christ. If you continue in known and unconfessed sin, no one can tell you at what point you cease to become a follower of Jesus and again become part of Satan's kingdom. It is God that determines that point. But when it does occur, you are opening yourself up to greater attacks of the enemy, including the possibility of demon possession. This is why it is important when you sin to immediately confess it and turn from unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. Jesus is called the Word of God in many places in Scripture. If the Word of God does not dwell in you, then Jesus does not dwell in you. How demons gain control. Demons gain control in several ways. 1. Through generations. Demons may oppress or possess a person because of previous possession or oppression of the parents. This accounts for demonic influence over children. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, and chapter 34, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9. 2. Through the mind. The mind is one of the major battlefields of Satan. If Satan can control your thoughts, he will eventually control your actions. Lack of mental control eventually results in loss of willpower, which leads to sinful actions. Continuing in sinful thoughts and actions can lead from oppression to possession and finally to a reprobate mind, as is described in Romans chapter 1. This is a mind totally controlled by evil thoughts. Demons also gain access through mind-altering drugs, which reduce the ability to resist demons and grant increasing access. Brainwashing or mind control teaching also provides entrance points. 3. Through sinful actions. Sinful thoughts are soon fulfilled by sinful actions. For example, the thought of adultery is fulfilled in the actual act of adultery. Sin is rebellion, and rebellious thoughts and actions provide entry points for demonic activity. When a believer continues in sinful thoughts or actions, they give place to the devil. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. More spiritual room is given for the operation of the enemy. Sins of involvement with the occult, including objects, literature, seances, etc., are actions which are especially dangerous and attract demonic powers. An unbeliever who lives in sin is open not only to oppression of demonic powers, but also possession. There is no neutral ground in spiritual warfare. You are either on the side of good or evil. You belong either to God or Satan. If you belong to Satan and have not experienced the new birth in Jesus Christ, then you are his to use, oppress, or possess as he wills. 4. Through desire. Some people desire and ask to be under the control of demonic powers. They do this for purposes of having supernatural power or performing supernatural activities. 5. Through an empty house. Demons consider the body of the person they inhabit their house. Matthew chapter 12, verse 44. When a person is delivered from demonic powers and does not fill his spiritual house by being born again and receiving the Holy Spirit, re-entry may occur. 6. Through permission. Sometimes God grants permission for demonic powers to accomplish special purposes. This can be allowed as a trial of believers, as in the case of Job. It can also be judgment for sin, as in the case of King Saul. Who is to deal with demonic powers? Dealing with demonic powers is not something to be left to professional ministers. Jesus said all believers would have the ability to overcome demonic powers. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Jesus gave his followers the ability to deal with demonic powers. He first delegated such power to the disciples. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. He delegated the same power to all believers. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. There is no biblical basis for believing God intended this important ministry to be restricted to a particular group of people. A layman named Philip was used by God to cast out evil spirits in Samaria, Acts chapter 8. But this does not mean believers should rush into encounters with demonic powers without proper preparation, as the sons of Sceva discovered, Acts chapter 19. It is also important that believers do not become overly demon conscious. We are not called to major in demons. There is no spiritual gift of casting out demons. But you are not to fear demonic powers. When confronted with those affected by demons, you have the power to bring deliverance from God. Detecting demonic presence. To overcome demonic powers, it is important to be able to recognize their presence and tactics. The Holy Spirit has provided a special spiritual gift for this purpose called discerning of spirits, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. To discern means to discover, evaluate, and make a distinction between. The gift of discerning of spirits enables a believer to discern the spirits operating in others. It permits him to discover, evaluate, and identify evil spirits. The gift of discerning of spirits is very important when dealing with demonic powers. It enables you to immediately discern whether or not a person has an evil spirit operating through or against him. It prevents deception by seducing or lying spirits. One with this gift can recognize the evil tactics and motives of demonic powers. For example, some deafness and dumbness, according to the biblical record, is caused by a spirit. Other deafness and dumbness might be the result of an accident or illness. Discernment enables you to determine the cause behind the condition, which permits specific ministry. Not all believers have this special spiritual gift of discerning of spirits. If a believer does not have this gift, there are signs of demonic presence which can be observed. When the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus with an appeal that he cast out an unclean spirit from her daughter, she said, "My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. How did she know this? She knew it by the symptoms. Detection is simply observing what demonic spirits do to a person. Here are some symptoms of demonic activity. Demonic obsession is recognized by an uncontrollable and unusual preoccupation with demons, Satan, or the occult. Such a person may dabble in occult practices, constantly credit everything to Satan or demons, or be preoccupied with the study of demons and Satan. Demonic oppression can be recognized by the following signs. 1. A physical binding. The daughter of Abraham, whom Jesus relieved of a spirit of infirmity, was bound physically. See Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Chronic sickness may be demonic oppression. All illness is not caused by demonic powers. Some illness is caused by a violation of natural laws, such as not eating properly or drinking bad water. Some illness is also chastisement. One king in the Bible, who did not give glory to God, was stricken with intestinal worms and died. 2. A mental oppression. Disturbances in the mind or thought life, such as mental torment, confusion, doubt, loss of memory, etc., restlessness, inability to reason or listen to others, abnormal talkativeness, or reserve may be exhibited. All mental problems are not caused by Satan. Discouragement, depression, and disorientation can be caused by allergies to certain foods or a wrong chemical imbalance in the brain. God is able to heal mental problems and illnesses not caused by demonic powers, as well as bring deliverance in cases caused by demons. But caution should be taken not to class all illness or mental problems as being caused by demonic spirits. Sometimes a simple change in diet or lifestyle will eliminate a problem if it is caused by physical causes. 3. Emotional problems. Disturbances in the emotions which persist or recur, including resentment, hatred, anger, fear, rejection, self-pity, jealousy, depression, worry, insecurity, inferiority, etc. 4. Spiritual problems. Extreme difficulties in overcoming sin, including sinful habits. Rejection of spiritual solutions to problems. Any type of doctrinal error or deception, including bondage to objects and literature of the occults. 5. Circumstances. Demons can create difficult circumstances which are oppressive. Such circumstances usually involve confusion and can be immediately identified as demonic because God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, James chapter 3, verse 16. Demonic possession can be recognized by the following signs. 1. Indwelling of an unclean spirit. This is demonstrated by a basic moral uncleanness and filthiness. It might include the desire to go without clothing. For example, see Mark chapter 5, verse 2, and Luke chapter 8, verse 27. 2. Unusual physical strength. A person shows strength beyond normal capabilities. For example, see Mark chapter 5, verse 3, and Luke chapter 8, verse 29. 3. Fits of rage. These fits may be accompanied by foaming at the mouth. See Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29, and Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. 4. Resistance to spiritual things. In the accounts in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, and chapter 1, verses 21 through 28, the demons knew Jesus immediately and asked him to leave them alone. Fear of the name of Jesus, prayer, and the word and blasphemy of that which is spiritual are all symptoms of demon possession. Excessive blasphemy may be noted or contorted physical features and abrupt behavioral changes when spiritual things are mentioned. 5. Changes in personality and or voice. A person who is normally shy may become aggressive or violent. Actions as well as appearance may be affected. Moral character and intelligence may change. Voice may be altered. See Mark chapter 5, verse 9. 6. Accompanying physical afflictions. In cases of demon possession, these appear most commonly to be afflictions of the mental and nervous system. See Matthew chapter 9, verse 33, chapter 12, verse 22, and Mark chapter 5, verses 4 through 5. They can also include a general pining or wasting away physically. See Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. 7. Self-inflicted physical injury. In Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21, there is the story of a man's son who would cast himself in the fire. In Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, this demon-possessed man cut himself with stones to inflict physical injury. 8. Terrible anguish. Luke chapter 8, verse 28 relates that this man went about crying because of the terrible inner torments caused by his possession. 9. Incapacity for normal living. This man could not live in society but lived in the tombs of the cemetery. See Luke chapter 8, verse 27. 10. Through unscriptural methods, the ability to foretell the future or discover that which is unknown. The woman in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 is said to be possessed by a spirit of divination. The following also may indicate demonic oppression, possession, or obsession. 1. Obsessive immorality such as involvement with pornography, adultery, fornication, masturbation, homosexuality, and other sex sins. Strong compulsions toward eating disorders, suicide, self-mutilation, maiming, and murder. 2. Addiction to drugs or alcohol. 3. Trances, visions, and meditation which are not focused on or from the one true God. 4. Bondage to emotions such as fear, anxiety, depression, hatred, rage, jealousy, backbiting, envy, pride, bitterness, negativism, and criticism.